Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Duneland Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Austin, serving as your co-host for Duneland Christian Living. Joining me, as always, is my wife, Dawn. Dawn, we're on the road once again.
Hi, Elliot. I don't know what town we're in.
Yeah, somewhere in Michigan. Probably just outside of Cassopolis, but maybe somewhere else. We'll have to figure out where we're at. But we found a place to stop to make sure we did our broadcast for today and share the gospel message. Today should be an interesting conversation as we're going to be talking about Doubting Thomas, which is the traditional text for the second Sunday of Easter. But before we do, Dawn, anything in particular you want to say to our audience?
No, I know that a lot of folks, a couple folks that we know and care about passed away this week. And so we're putting prayers out to all the families and hoping they've been lifted right up in God's arms.
Yeah, we went through a lot of tragedy around us and for our family and friends this week. And Dawn, you're absolutely right, and glad you brought them forward. This is a time of transition for many people, especially around the holidays, as they experience the loss of a loved one. As we celebrate the joy of the resurrection and what that means for us to have to go through and immediately apply the lessons learned from the resurrection to their immediate circumstance and the death of a loved one is very challenging on one's faith at this point in time, I'm sure, for many. Let me try to invite our listeners to join us on our newsletter. Look for our emails, our email newsletter at doomlandchristianliving.org. You can send us a note, drop us a line, and make sure you get on our mailing list so we can get you on our weekly newsletter. You can always follow us at Twitter at DCL Network and or like us on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/doomlandchristianliving. That's the whole phrase, Doomland Christian Living.
You got it.
Through our discussions with Dawn, we're going to do Amazing Grace, right?
Yes, Amazing Grace.
And this is the new version?
Nope, Michael W. Smith.
Oh, you changed it up on me again. Okay, here we go.
Amazing Grace. Now I'm
Well, I think that's an appropriate song for us on our second Sunday of Easter. Today we're going to be working ourselves through the lesson of Doubting Thomas from the Gospel of John. So, Dawn, would you work us in our starting point?
Yes, this is John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name.
Well, there you have it, the story of Doubting Thomas. And, you know, as we talked this morning, Don, we used this as our sermon text for today, and really appreciated the opportunity of going through further discussion in the Word on that with everybody in the congregation today. So, but one of the things we want to come about is, you know, the issue of Thomas and whether this is a real good moniker, Doubting Thomas. Because in the way I look at the scriptures and how they present themselves, I look at other verses and other lessons in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke. We find that we don't believe that Thomas was the only one that was doubting. In fact, let me start with a couple of things about Thomas. Thomas, in his ministry following Jesus' death, probably took the gospel message further than any other of the disciples. He took it all the way to India. So by distance-wise, he's traveled the most ground away from Jerusalem to bring the gospel of Christ through. He also died and was martyred for his faith. So he definitely had a strong commitment to the Lord and to spread the gospel news. Now, along with that, though, we also have to come to grips, too, with the issue that some of the disciples may also have been doubters. In fact, let me just share briefly from Mark chapter 16. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So I want to say that as we look at this right off, maybe even possibly, since others were holed up in that upper room with the doors locked and shut, pulled themselves away from the world to be protected from the Jews, that maybe they were the more doubtful ones, and that Thomas, not even present, was the only one that was out and about in the world.
Well, they definitely seemed to be afraid and unsure about what was going on.
Absolutely. And we're not really sure what Thomas was up to, but we do know that, again, they hold up. So here in the midst of the fact that Peter has revealed to them what he saw and that Mary has come forward and say that she is seen and Christ is alive, you would think this would be a time of celebration. But we find the apostles locked up in a room, separated from the rest of the world. You know, you would think that if there was true faith and true belief at that point in time, that Jesus, what he said, that he would rise, would be exactly what transpired. They wouldn't have done so. They wouldn't have been so fearful and so afraid, as Dawn, you had mentioned. Also, it's an important note to recognize that at the crucifixion, there was only one apostle that stood with Jesus. All the others had scattered, and that was John. So, you know, the question of doubt, I think, belongs in an issue for all of us. And perhaps even the reference of Thomas as a twin, knowing that there is no other mention that he had a brother or a sister, may be a little bit of an issue of relative to our faith, in that it resembles how we approach our faith, right? That little bit of skepticism and needing proof and desiring. Dawn?
I just know that we had a good conversation about how kind of a bad rap here because everyone remembers the Doubting Thomas and it says that it's all on him. But I think that it was a little more widespread than that.
Absolutely. But what I really appreciate in going through the text today, in my preparation work and in our discussions today, and in the sermon, is that maybe perhaps Thomas is the one that is the example for us, right? How often do we find ourselves looking for the world around us to be the one that speaks up on our behalf, right? Fearful of ourselves, to not be the one to go against the grain, not be the one that stands out, not being one to question the obvious, to be certain and sure about anything that's going on. Instead, we fall back into the group mindset, the group think, and we just let the world go on around us. Yet Thomas has the courage, the confidence in his faith to come forward and say, you know, Lord, I just need to see. I just have to see you. I need to feel you. And I just got to believe it may be a good example for us.
And I can't believe that there weren't some other people in the room that were really glad that Thomas asked that question and that they got that confirmation.
Well, you know, even in our own conversations, right, we started this process of conversational sermons, you know, several years ago, and we found it amazing, the fear and the lack of confidence enough to ask basic questions what people didn't understand or think they knew about the Gospels or about the Old Testament or about the New Testament or about who was who. So they sit back in the group and they shake their heads and nod, and they pick up some things, but they may not be able to pick up on everything because they didn't feel confident that they could ask to say, who was Peter? Who was Paul? Was that the New Testament or the Old Testament? What did this Isaiah mean by this, right?
And things like, who wrote that book?
Yeah, some very basic, simple questions about our own faith. We find ourselves afraid to ask those things. And I think we can take courage and take heart in what Thomas has done for us. He's given us the path that says, you know, it's fair to look and seek confidence, look and seek courage, to ask the Lord, to say, Lord, we just need you right now. And I suggest that in everyone's walk of faith at some point in time, especially as we talk about those that are grieving right now around this lawn, that some people aren't just needing and really praying and actively seeking, but say, Lord, I am down. I am so low right now. I just need to know you're with me. I need to see your presence. I need to feel you. I need to touch you.
Give me a sign.
Show me, Lord. So I know we all struggle. No one is 100% certain, I'm sure, with their walk in faith. And times of darkness tend to show us those times where we do fall short in our faith. But I think you can take heart, again, from this lesson from Thomas, that you can go directly to God and say, God, I just need to touch you this day. I just need you to touch me. I need to feel your presence. I need your saving grace to be with me. Tell me that you are real to me right now, Lord. And I encourage you to pray that when you need him most, when you're down, when you're depressed, when you're worried about the future, when you are excited about opportunities and just need guidance for a decision to the Lord and let him give it. Because I'm going to, I know, Dawn, you disagree with me today and you probably disagree with me tonight, but
many other times,
but I'm not going to take this as a real strong rebuke by Jesus. You know, I know people take it that Jesus rebuked Thomas, but I'm going to offer up and say that in this Gospel of Mark and Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, the first thing Jesus did when he appeared was show him his hands and show him his side. Right, so it's only natural to me that he would say to Thomas, Thomas, put your fingers here, touch my wounds, right? And I know he goes on to make this other statement about blessed are those who believe without having seen. But I think I take that more of encouragement more than anything else. And I know, Dawn, you have some different perspectives on that.
You're just saying that Christ could only show himself to so many people, and of course he's going to be thrilled if there are folks out there who don't need this regurgitation of him again and again showing.
I think you're right. I think, you know, he looks for people to understand their faith and to have that trust without those kind of signs.
However, these were the people that if anybody should get it, they should.
Yeah, but yet he had to show his hands to all of them, you know, so why not Thomas also, right? And there's a couple of points that I want to bring forward in addition to this. One is, it was an invitation by Jesus to go directly to it. It wasn't like Thomas asked, right? Thomas, you know, when upon seeing him, said, well, let me come up, let me show me your hand so I can touch them. Jesus offered him plainly. He said, here you go. I know you're going to doubt. I know you have your struggles. Just like he says to us, Dawn, I know you have your doubts. I know you have your struggles. Elliot, I know you have your doubts. I know you have your struggles. But here I am. I'm going to present myself cleanly to you.
Oh, Elliot, he had already said that was what he needed. And just because Jesus wasn't in the room physically at that time, didn't he? He said that beforehand. He said,
So Jesus comes right to him without Thomas having to say anything to him.
Right.
But if you read through it too quickly, the assumption is that, you know, Jesus was there and Thomas inquired and needed to do it. That's all I'm saying.
Jesus offered God's everywhere, then he knew.
Jesus offered himself up just like he did to the other apostles, was my point. That they didn't come forward, and he didn't have to come forward. Jesus stepped forward directly and said, "Here, touch my wounds." The other issue is with taking the heart to where Thomas now goes with this affirmation, right? That we have this opportunity to do something now with this confidence and with the trust in God that he is present, he is with us. And Thomas took it to the extreme. Thomas took it to the point of martyrdom. He took his message to India, and he died for his faith. And I think that's also something to take note. Whatever it is that we lack, whatever it is that we need, that brings us closer to God, that gives us that chance to become whole with God, that we can serve him with full confidence and with full trust, that we can do it 100% of the time. We need to find out what that is that holds us back and how do we get through that and overcome that. And I take this message of Thomas, finding exactly what he needed, asking the Lord directly and saying, "I got to see, I got to know," and God providing him that answer. But then the life was breathed into him through the Holy Spirit, affirmation through the rest of his life and every step of his ministry along that from that day forward. And that's the opportunity for us.
It became his mission.
Yeah, and that's all of our missions. I think, you know, our mission is to continue the mission of Jesus, to continue the message of hope and opportunity and a relationship with God, to understand that the forgiveness that was won for us on the cross, that salvation, is something that is to be gifted to everyone. In fact, the verses before this that we didn't cover in the gospel lesson that Dawn read speaks directly to that. And every instance in the gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke where Jesus had appeared to the disciples, he immediately follows up with a call to action, to go out and to preach the good news to the ends of the earth, to go out and to share his love, to go out and proclaim his mercy and grace. And so doing in this text for us today, just happens to be earlier on and a piece of the text we didn't cover. But through this question of doubt, whether you're Thomas, Mark, Matthew, Bartholomew, or any of the apostles, you know, overcoming that doubt and then taking the next step where Jesus calls you forward to serve and go out into the world, that's where we should look to find ourselves. Dawn, any other conversations that you want to continue on with at this point?
I was actually thinking about our one friend who just died from pancreatic cancer. And the strength from that family to come to peace with it, I don't know quite how
they'll be able to do it or how they
how they've done it.
Well, they've suffered a great deal over the years. We know they have. The one thing that we can be sure on that we know is evidence from what we have seen and experienced, their presence with us in worship. You know, we saw a lot of them in church. We know they depended on their faith. We know they depended on their congregation. And I hope and pray that they feel that they've been comforted by God's angels in our congregation that is helping continue that strengthening that they need now through this time of another loss. And I'm just going to go back to our verse today where they're finding that confidence to find their faith, to find where they're weak, but be dependent on their faith in the church, their faith in Christ alive in that church, and the messengers and the angels that he sends forward from that church.
Well, I just wanted to say I was just so amazed at John himself in the little things that he would post on Facebook, that he just really seemed to be at peace. There were some things he wanted to accomplish, and he was out there trying. Whenever he felt well enough, he was out there living life as God gave it to him, that gift.
Yeah. So there are several people on our hearts right now in this season, and I know that many of the family members, maybe even friends around them, may find the need to question where God is in their life right now as they experience this loss and come to grips with it. So we just want everybody out there to lift them up in prayer. All the families, we've had four families affected by losses this past week, people that we know. So many of the people are either traveling or will be traveling shortly for the funeral arrangements. And we just want to pray that they have an opportunity to find the mercy and grace that God offers them wherever they need it, whenever they need it this time. And we want to lift them up in prayer and just continue to.
And just like you've said so many times, look for Christ. Christ can come to you in so many different forms, so many different people willing to be there for you and to lift you up. And every time you should see the face of Christ.
Yeah, and that's something we kind of talked about today too, right? If Jesus were to show up, how would we know, and would we not question whether or not that really is Jesus? What would be our first reaction? First, you know, we talked about what would he look like? Would we be able to recognize him, right? And then second, would we not be Thomas needing to say, hey, show me, prove it to me. I don't believe you. Odds are we probably wouldn't even take it that far. Most of us would walk away.
That's what we're saying ourselves, but that's what we do. Please show me a sign.
Absolutely, that's what we do. And there's nothing wrong in that. In fact, God wants us to bring it all to him. He wants our doubts. He wants our fears to be opened up into his heart and lifted up into his hands. So we just ask that you continue to find that opportunity in Thomas. For I wanted to propose, Thomas has given us a sign of strength, of confidence, and courage to say that which we haven't. I mean, if you just look at all the ills in the world and how often we set ourselves aside and just hope that somebody would stand up to injustice, just hope somebody would say something where we didn't have the confidence and strength to say it ourselves. This is what Thomas gives us as a source of an example of action and confidence and trust in the Lord. So we leave that with you tonight. Dawn, is there any closing statements you want to make?
No, I'm good for now. I've shared with you.
Well, we may be ending a moment or two early, but coming from the road, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation. Again, continue to follow us on Facebook. Look for our newsletter. If not, send us an email at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us at Twitter. And with that, we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Are you guys ready to worship about this tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.